Okay, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you on this a brand new day. I'm glad to see faces and names, numbers. However you're here, I'm glad that you are here. I welcome you in Jesus' name to the Contemporary Bible Class, but really it's a time for us to sit together spiritually at Jesus' feet and hear what he has to tell us today. He has some fresh food, a good word for all of us. So I want to ask you to make sure you have your ears open to receive and to hear the word of the Lord. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name on this April the 11th, 2021, Sunday, bright, shiny day here in Omaha, Nebraska. And whatever the weather is for those who are in class, we thank you for this another day. We thank you for keeping us through all of last week and all the things that occurred on last week, all the ups and downs, the dips, the valleys, the hills, and the mountains you brought us through. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. And now you have ushered us by grace into a brand new day. And we say glory, hallelujah to you. Glory, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We ask you now, Father, to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to us this morning. Make your word real and relevant to us and help us by your Spirit and apply it to our hearts and help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We pray for those who may be bereaved, Lord God. We've had deaths and families in our class. And we lift up the bereaved family members, classmates among us, Lord God. Comfort comes from you. But we do care, Lord, and we want them to know that we care. We pray for one another and for all the needs in this room. We lift them up before you. You care for us. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless our time together and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, last week we celebrated the resurrection, the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The week prior to that, we concluded Luke chapter 11. If we have any new people with us this morning, and I encourage all of you to continue to invite others to come and join our class. Just forward to them the Zoom information. As you know, it's not limited to people in Omaha. The invitation Zoom is all over the world, nationwide and all over the world. So anyone that you know that may be interested in studying God's word, I encourage you to tell them about the class. I welcome all new members. We have new classmates who are joining us. I don't know who all everyone is, but I am aware that new people are joining us on a regular basis. We are studying the gospel according to Luke. And today we will be starting Luke chapter 12. I encouraged each one of you when we last met, at least several weeks ago, to read Luke chapter 12. And so that's where we'll be studying today. And for the next, who knows how long we'll be in that chapter, we'll be there until God moves us on. So I will be introducing that chapter on this morning. The Lord has given me much to share, and I pray that you all are ready to receive from the word of the Lord. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. I did attach Luke chapter 12 to this previous week's Zoom invitation, a New King James Version of Luke chapter 12. That is the version I use for classroom purposes. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 12. We already know that Luke is the longest of the four Gospels, even though Matthew has 28 chapters and Luke only has 24 chapters. Luke's account is longer than Matthew, Mark's, or John. Having said that, when we look at Luke chapter 12, we see that Luke chapter 12, yes, it is a lengthy chapter, 59 verses. And it is my goal today for us to peruse and look over a survey, as it were, an overview of the chapter. Now, we have found out the scene is still, the scene changes somewhat, but we are still in the same day. And I want you to know that. Now, I'll say more about that in just a moment. This chapter, chapter 12, is a chapter of instruction. That is a key word. Even though that word does not appear in the Bible, you will see that Luke chapter 12 is full of instruction. Whereas in Luke chapter 11, the first portion of Luke chapter 11 was on prayer. The next portion of Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 14, was spiritual warfare and conflict. Now that we're in Luke chapter 12, I would say one of the key components of Luke chapter 12 is it is a chapter of instruction. Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 12, it appears that it all happened on the same day. Now, when you look at Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 14, all the way, and you just turn your pages, Luke chapter 11, verse 14, and go on over all the way to Luke chapter 13, verse 9. And I believe from my reading in scripture here and studying and preparing for you all to teach, and also I'm teaching, the Lord's teaching me as well, I see that all of this happened on the same day. From Luke chapter 11, verse 14, all the way through Luke chapter 13, verse 9, all of that happens on the same day. So you can see Jesus was truly being about his Father's business. It was a, quote, busy day for Jesus. Now you just think about you and how many things you do in a day. Think about yesterday. How many things did you do on yesterday? Well, some of you may say, well, I didn't do too much of nothing. It was Saturday. But you did actually do a lot, even if you call yourself doing nothing. We even are in our, quote, nothingness, we are doing a lot. But most of us have some things to do. And days are full of activity. A lot of things can be done in a day. And so in Luke chapter 11 here, let's follow. How, Velma, can you say that this all happened in a day? Well, let's follow the narrative. In Luke chapter 11, verse 14, that's how this whole scene scenario opens, where Jesus was casting out a demon. We've studied that. And we'll say that that's the start of this day. Now, it might not have been the very start of the day. It could have been Jesus had taught them on prayer on that same day. I don't know. But at least in Luke 11, 14, Jesus cast out this demon from this man who was mute, who had a demon that caused him to be mute. Then we go on to verse 15, and we saw three reactions of the people. We know that happened on the same day, that they reacted to what Jesus had done in verse 14. When you get to verse 17, the passage is still going on, and it says, Jesus knowing their thoughts, and Jesus begins to speak. Now, I encourage each one to have a red letter Bible. It's good to have a red letter Bible, but if you don't, just follow along with me. Well, you notice the red letter starts in verse 17, and that red letter continues until you get to verse 27. Goes back to black letter, Luke is writing. And Luke, the narrator, says, and it happened as he spoke. So you know that's the same day. As Jesus was speaking, this woman arises and she offers a false praise. Verse 29 tells us on the same day, doesn't say on the same day, but the scene is building. You know, things progress in a day. So in verse 29, while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, same day here. And then the red letter comes on the scene again. And Jesus keeps talking until you get to verse 37. The narrator, Luke, comes on again. And Luke says, and as he spoke. So that lets you know, same day, as he spoke. This Pharisee comes and asked him to dine with him. So So I'll just imagine, even though it says dine, it probably was more like lunch than a dinner. But whatever it was, it happened that same day. And you know how we have to stop and eat in a day. So verse 37, as Jesus was speaking on this same day, this Pharisee invited him to come to his house and to dine with him. And Jesus went in and sat down to eat. And then in verse 39, the Lord says to him, talking about the Pharisees, and the red letter starts. That goes on all the way till through verse 44. Then you get to verse 45, and verse 45 says, then one of the lawyers answered, same day, the same scene, and it's all happening on the same day. Jesus talks again in verse 46, and the red letter continues, and then verse 53, black letter, and as he said these things to them, and then it goes on talking about the scribes and Pharisees. Well, Luke has here, Luke didn't write a 12. When Luke was writing, he didn't stop and put number 12. But number 12 has been inserted so we could easily better maneuver through the Bible, you know, so we could find things better. So thank God chapter numbers have been added. But sometimes chapter numbers can kind of fool you or trick you if you're not really listening carefully. Even though it says Luke chapter 12, it's still the same day. It's the same day while Jesus was in the house with the Pharisees having dining. They were dining, but really confrontation and really spiritual warfare. While they were in the house, in the meantime, chapter 12, verse 1, on the same day. It's just like while we're in class, there's a whole bunch of things going on in the meantime. While we're in the class, in the meantime, Brother John out there is cutting his grass. And there's a whole bunch of things going on in the meantime, at the same time, on the same day. So that's chapter 12, same day, later on in the day, but the same day. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, and we have followed the crowd, we saw first of all in chapter 11, verse 14, it was a multitude. And then the woman, she spoke out from the crowd. Well, more people were gathering. When Jesus was in that house with the Pharisees, other people were gathering. That's how chapter 12 opens, same day. So this multitude gathers. Then Jesus begins to talk. And this is going to start our passage, our section on instruction. Jesus begins to talk in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. He says, beware. And he keeps talking until you get to verse 13. Verse 13 says, then one from the crowd, same day. Then one from the crowd said to him, so you know there's interaction going on. Then we go on down. Jesus speaks a parable, answering the man, you know, in response to what that man from the crowd had said, all happening on the same day. Verse 16, Jesus speaks a parable. Verse 22, Jesus says to his disciples, but the crowd is still around. And we know the crowd is still around because when you get to verse 41, chapter 12, verse 41 says, then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? And so that's all the crowds of people that started building in chapter 11. So Peter wants to know in verse 41, chapter 12, are you speaking to us, the disciples, or to all the people? Then Jesus has more to say. And the red letter that starts in verse 42 goes all the way to verse 54. Then 54, Jesus addresses the multitudes. Then chapter 13, we still on the same day. Chapter 13, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans. And then you go on down until you get to verse 10. Chapter 13, verse 10, gear shift, change of scene, change of day. I don't know if it was the next day, we don't know, but we now know we have moved from that section, this section that started in Luke chapter 11, verse 14, that same day goes all the way through chapter 13, verse 9. So that's a lot going on. And we know it changes because when you look at chapter 13, verse 10, it says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So that lets you know there's the time change, there's the day change, there's the scene change, there's the scenario change. Gear shift, we're moving somewhere else. And that starts in verse 10. So Jesus was very busy on this day with the crowds as well as the Pharisees and with the multitude, all on the same day. So we're in chapter 12 now, and we have found out, we have seen in chapter 11. Now keep in mind the scene we have left in chapter 11. We found out in verse 14, chapter 11, when Jesus cast out that demon, there were three reactions, and they were all demonically inspired. And that made this passage here in chapter 11 a passage of conflict, a passage of opposition, a passage of spiritual warfare, Jesus and his enemies. And we saw the three responses and Jesus's three reactions and Jesus's three responses. And that went until Jesus went into the Pharisee's house. And when he got into the Pharisee's house, we know that they were trying to trap Jesus. And when Jesus leaves that Pharisee's house, it tells us in verse 53. And we recall what happened in the Pharisee's house. They were offended at Jesus because he did not keep their ceremonial laws. And then Jesus said, well, you make clean the outside of the cup. That's verse chapter 11, verse 39, you make clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. And so, you know, they dropped their forks and their knives when Jesus said that. Mouths flew wide open. And then Jesus goes on and on, stripping the cover, pulling back the blinds, showing up what the nature of the Pharisees really was. And he summed it up by saying they were hypocrites. So then we go on in verse 53. Now that scene ended there. And verse 53 says, as Jesus said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. And so they go their way to further connive how they're going to trap Jesus. Jesus leaves that house. And in the meantime, the crowd has gathered. That's the scene. So let's read. I'll read. Just follow along with me. We're just going to read one verse, but we're going to go through this entire chapter. Luke chapter 12, verse 1, introducing the chapter. It says, Luke 12, verse 1, New King James Version, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So let's stop right there. Now, when we read this, the narrator, Luke, is writing. And Luke lets us know, in the meantime, while Jesus was in that house, the crowd is continuing to gather. And we might say, well, that's a good thing. Well, it could be and it could not be. Let's look at this crowd a little closer. We notice that the crowd has gathered so much. So many people have gathered together that they begin to trample one another. Now, some of you maybe have been in a, quote, stampede. Some of you may have been in a crowd. I pray that I'm never in that big a group of people where it actually becomes where they're trampling upon one another. So you got to picture it. That means people are falling. That means people are walking or running or moving fast. It is a chaotic scene. It is a chaotic scene with all these people trampling upon one another. And so when Jesus comes out of that house with his disciples, now we have to keep in mind his disciples are with him. Jesus didn't go into that house and leave the disciples outdoors. They were there together. So when they come out of that Pharisee's house, look what has happened. The crowd has multiplied, but it is a chaotic crowd. It is a crowd that we could say is out of control simply because of the words, they trampled one another. And so you would think logically you would think if the rest of verse 1 was not there, and if you hadn't read the rest of chapter 12, you would think naturally that Jesus would do what? Well, you would think he would do what? Exercise crowd control. That's what you would naturally think, right? You would naturally think that he would call things to come to order, like he did in Luke chapter 9. Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 9 for a moment. Now, in Luke chapter 9, they weren't trampling on one another, but it was at least, we say, about 15,000 people in Luke chapter 9. So let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 14. This is the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 men plus the women and the children. So the estimate is about 15,000 people. So Luke chapter 9, verse 14 says, for there were about 5,000 men. Now, that's a lot of people, and you need to picture that. 5,000 men. Then you got to picture and their wives and their children. Lots of people. Then Jesus said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. That's crowd control. Jesus is putting some order to this crowd. Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. So Jesus brought order. Jesus, he grouped off people. He sectioned the people off. He caused some order to come to all that crowd. Not so in Luke chapter 12. When we go back to Luke chapter 12, it simply says, Luke 12:1, it simply says, people had gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another. Does Jesus address the crowd? No. It says, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, naturally, like I said, naturally, you would think Jesus would bring some order to the crowd. But now we need to keep in mind what has just happened. We have been in spiritual warfare, spiritual conflict. Jesus had just left the enemy's house, we could say, that Pharisee, where they were out to get him. And now Jesus comes out, and here is this group of chaotic people. But what we need to see is, why come he didn't address the crowd? Because Jesus is going to instruct his disciples about exactly what had just happened. He's going to tell them, he says in verse 1, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He didn't say, watch out for the crowd. He didn't say, be careful, don't let nobody step on your toe. He didn't say, don't make sure you don't fall down. Jesus did not get distracted by the crowd. And this could be another dart that the enemy had threw at Jesus, perhaps, to cause this chaotic scene. But you know, our Jesus is always on it. Jesus is wise. He's a mighty man of battle, and he's not going to let the lesson get cold. The disciples, they had witnessed what had just happened in the Pharisee's house. And so now it's like, you know, when you were kids, we were all kids out here. Yes, we were. We're not kids anymore. But there was a time we were. And we had in school show and tell. And you all have probably experienced show and tell. And that's where you'd bring an object to class. Like I have this clock, a big clock sitting right here. A clock here. And I take my clock and I show my clock and I tell you all about this clock. Well, this is a show and tell scenario. The show was in the Pharisee's house. That's what happened. And the disciples are sitting there and they're witnessing what's going on in Luke chapter 11 at the Pharisee's house. Now they come out and Jesus is now is going to tell them. They saw what had happened. That's the show. But now Jesus is going to teach them about what just happened. He's not going to let that lesson grow cold. And you know, some things you got to get on it right now. Because if you don't get on some things right now, it'll grow cold. You won't get back to it. The lesson won't be as effective. And so Jesus was not distracted by the crowd. Now we know evidently the crowd came to some order in order for all this other passage to continue that same day. The lesson I'm trying to teach now and am teaching now by God's help is Jesus was not distracted, and he does not want us to be distracted. Because when we think about in our lives, sometimes there's an innumerable multitude of things that would distract us. And Jesus would say, now here comes this instruction. So we have seen show, and now Jesus is going to tell. It is an object lesson. And the object was what happened at the Pharisee's house. The lesson is getting ready to occur. I also remember when I was in school, we had lab. And I didn't like lab. I really didn't like biology. But we had the lab work, and then you had the lesson. You had lab, and then you had lecture. And so the Pharisee's house was the lab. Here comes the lesson. Here comes the lecture. Here comes the instruction. It is a lot of instruction. And that's why I said, I believe I said it when class started, but perhaps I didn't. This may be one of those lessons where you do want to go back and listen to the audio, which is on my website, godswordalive.net, so you can really get the lessons. There's a lot of instruction for all of us. And there swirls around us often, not every day, but sometimes an innumerable multitude of things to distract us. So Jesus, he just, you know, with his words, he gets the disciples' attention. Because you got to, when you picture this, when the disciples saw all them people, I'm sure their mouths flew wide open too, and they were trampling over each other. But Jesus just calms the disciples down. And now he enters into instruction. So that's the title today, going into Luke chapter 12. The first thing I want to say is all of us are in a warfare. That is part of Christianity. Once you are a Christian, you are enlisted in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. That's a song we sing. I got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. Well, how does that play out? It plays out many ways. And one way of attack is things that would seek to distract us. But here's the instruction. Ephesians tells us, the book of Ephesians tells us, be strong in the Lord. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, a lot of you know it by memory because we've heard it through the years in church. It's a good passage to hear, but it's better to do it. You know, you got to hear it first. Then you have to live it. You have to do it. You have to believe it. You have to receive it. And then you have to do it. And it's not always easy. I'm by no means saying any of this is easy. So Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and this is talking about warfare. And we're going to see in Luke 12, we're still in some type of warfare. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren," that's us, that's the saints of God, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." That's all of us. I need to hear that. Be strong, Velma, and you say your name. Be strong, how? In the Lord. It's going to take the Lord to be strong when these assaults of the enemy come. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Instruction, put on. That takes action. You got to do something. Just can't read the Bible. You got to actually, literally, spiritually put it on. And it's a day-by-day thing. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand when the crowd is trampling, when their people are falling down. That's a trampling crowd. People are falling down and people are stomping on folks. But see, that's what the enemy will want to do to us. But how can we stand? We stand in the strength of the Lord. We stand in the power of his might. We stand clothed in the whole armor of God. And with that whole armor of God, his power, his strength, we may be able to stand against the tactics, against the wiles, against the schemes, against the traps, against the snares of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, although it might look like flesh and blood. We're fighting against the devil. So now let's go back to Luke 12. Because, you know, we hear Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord. And everybody says, yay, amen. Well, how do you do that? How do you be strong in the Lord? What exactly does it mean to be strong in the Lord? Well, Luke chapter 12 is going to give us a whole bunch of instruction on what it looks like to be strong in the Lord. What it looks like when the enemy has attacked, that's Luke chapter 11, when the enemy has attacked, for us to stand and be spiritually warfare and be successful against the wiles of the enemy, we need the instruction of Luke chapter 12. So let's look at these instructions. Now I'm going to go through because our time will run out, but it's my goal to at least go through verse 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 1 through 48. There are many things that must come together to be strong in the Lord. Now different seasons calls for different things, but you're going to see in these instructions, it's all the time. It doesn't say put on the whole armor of God from 8 to 6. It doesn't say put on the whole armor of God in the morning and throw it off at night. It says put it on. Never did tell us to take it off. And so these instructions are continual instructions. First of all, instruction number one. And on my list here that I hope to get through, I have 10 things. And some of them have A, B, C's, and a D. Okay, so instruction number one is in verse 1, and it says, beware, that's the warning. First of all, it's a warning to all of us. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. See, that's that show and tell. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So verses 1 through 3 is telling us the instruction, first of all, is don't be a hypocrite. That's to all of us. Don't be a hypocrite. And you may say, oh, no, I'm not a hypocrite. She's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. They're a hypocrite. But Jesus was telling who? His disciples. He was telling his disciples, warning, watch out, look out. It can happen to you. You can become just like a Pharisee. Beware. And that's to all of us. Always walk humbly with God. At least seek to. always dwell in love and forgiveness and mercy. Now, that doesn't mean you close your eyes to the truth. You still know the truth, but we don't want to be like the Pharisee. So instruction number one, to be strong in battle, you've got to be real. You cannot be a hypocrite, or none of these other things will matter. So that's instruction number one, verses 1-3, don't be a hypocrite. Instruction number two is in verses 4-7. And 4-7, and you know, I'm introducing the chapter, I'll say more about it in weeks to come. But in 4-7, you notice the key word is fear. Verse 4 says, don't be afraid. Verse 5 says, fear him. And then it ends with fear him. And then verse 7 says, do not fear. So we notice fear is the key word there. But instruction number two is fear God more than you fear people. Because first of all, if you fear people more than you fear God, then you're going to become a hypocrite because you're trying to please people. So we must fear God more than man. And that can be easier said than done. But we must fear God more than man. If you're going to be strong in battle, you can't be a man pleaser. If you be trying to please people, you're going to lose. You're going to be all messed up. We have to fear God more than we fear people. And you know, even while I'm teaching, I was telling somebody that this week, even when I'm teaching, all these lessons are not easy for Velma to teach. Some of these lessons are hard, but I have to teach the whole word because I fear God. I have to fear him more than I fear you. How are you going to think about Velma? So all of us, lesson number two, fear God more than man. That's verses 4-7. Then we get to verse 8-10. Verses 8-10. And in verse 8, it says also, so that lets you know, here's another instruction. Verse 8 says, also I say to you, and verse 8-10 lets us know, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus, okay? We can't be ashamed. And there are things in life that will seek to make you, that will cause you to be ashamed. But we have to be bold and we have to pray for boldness. We need the strength of the Lord to be bold, depending on the situation. If we're ashamed of Jesus, then we become that hypocrite and then we become pleasing people. So these things build upon one another. Verse 8-10, don't be ashamed of Jesus, okay? Don't be ashamed of Jesus. And you can see why I say that when you read these verses on your own later. But it tells us here, verse 8, also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels. But he who denies me will be denied by the angels. And then that means don't be ashamed of Jesus. Amen. The next instruction, we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on the power of the Spirit. And that's verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. And it tells us in verse 11, now when they bring you, now that tells you some battle, warfare. You know, you fear because there's something to make you afraid. But in verse 11, now when they bring you, now keep in mind, he's talking to his disciples, us disciples. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So that lets us know we must rely on the Holy Spirit when we are in different situations. Amen. Our next instruction is from verse 13-15. And it tells us, don't be covetous. Now, these are my captions that the Lord gave me, these captions. He may give it to you a different way, but this is my outline. and my Jesus's instructions here. So verses 13 through 15, beware of covetousness. And that's in, like I said, 13. So 13 says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, you know, one out of the crowd. So that crowd got enough together that one out of the crowd said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So that tells you that man was thinking about some money. He was thinking about inheritance. So he says, teacher, tell my brother to divide. And he called Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. But then Jesus goes on and notice Jesus's response. He was not distracted because that man said, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. Jesus wasn't thinking about money. He was training his disciples how to be strong in the Lord. And here comes a distraction. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? In other words, I ain't getting involved with that. I'm busy teaching my disciples. And so Jesus was not distracted. There was a dart that whizzed by. You know, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. And Jesus on it. He didn't fall for that distraction. He didn't get involved in that family mess. Jesus was out to teach his disciples. And he tells them, you all, that's another show and tell. That's another object lesson right there. Verse 15, take heed, warning to all of us. Take heed. See, that's how the section started out in verse 1. Beware. Verse 15 says, take heed and beware of covetousness. More. Money. Things. Seeking this and that. Beware of covetousness. So that's instruction number 5, verses 13 through 15. Let's keep going. Verses 16 through 21. Now, verse 16 through 21, my caption I wrote the way the Lord gave it to me is be rich towards God. Be rich towards God. That's verses 16 through 21. And we're going to see where Jesus gives this parable. We have heard this parable through the years. Verse 16, then Jesus, he spoke a parable to them. You know, he's following up. That's the show and tell. The man who said, tell my brother to divide my inheritance. Well, Jesus is not going to let that lesson drop. He tells a parable. There's a show and a tell. Verse 16, then Jesus spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose will be those things? Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up. So is he. That's an equal sign. Whenever you see them, so is he. That's like equal. 1 + 1 = 2. Well, here's the equal sign. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And so the lesson to be strong in the Lord, we can't be covetous. We can't be so attached to this world that we're seeking always the things of this world that we have to die and leave. And we don't know what's going to happen to them after we die and leave. So it says, be rich towards God. Amen. So that's instruction number 6. Instruction number 7, do not worry. Well, we certainly know that's one easier said than done. Do not worry. But still, it's an instruction. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, then you can't be worrying. I can't either. So this is why we need the word of God, so he can tell us why we don't need to worry. So verses 22 through 30 is on do not worry. And you'll see in there, verse 22 says, then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Then he goes on talking. So the lesson and teaching, and he gives objects. Verse 24, consider the ravens, show and tell. Verse 27, consider the lilies, object lessons. Okay, so that's the lesson instruction, verses 22 through 30, do not worry. Then we come on down to verse 31. Verse 31, and we can see here an instruction, seek the kingdom of God. That's instruction number 8, seek the kingdom of God. And I believe it was Matthew who says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the instruction in verse 31 through 34 is seek the kingdom of God. So that means we have to have an eternal focus. We can't let our affections be on things of this earth. We have to, with God's help, set our affections on things above. And you know, we're attached to this world. That's the battle, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the three things we'll fight all through life. It's the world system, our own flesh that says, I'm tired, and the spirit says, pray, and the flesh is saying, after I take a nap. That's the battle of the flesh, and the flesh says a lot of things. And then the devil, okay? So the instruction is seek the kingdom of God. Then the next instruction, verses beginning at verse 35, actually all the way through 48, but I'm going to subsection it here. My topic is anticipate Jesus' return. Anticipate Jesus' return. So starting at verse 35, instruction. Now, I have on my list 9 and then A, the letter A. Letter A, verse 35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Okay, so you may say, what? Let your waist be girded. Well, we know what a girdle is. Most of us women know about girdles. And some men know what a girdle is too, but we know what girdles are. And a girdle means you got to pull it in. You can't be walking loose with God. You got to pull it on in. And so be girded. He's telling us whatever's loose in your life, and my life too, get it girded. You know, and when you're trying to work your way in a girdle, you know it takes some effort. You got to pull. You got to do all this stuff. So be girded. Take some energy. But that's the instruction. Be girded and have oil in your lamps. And that's the parable, comes from the parable of the 10 virgins, which is in Matthew chapter 25. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, because oil ran out of their lamps. So we have to keep our lamps burning. Letter B, 9B, be ready. Now, all of these are going to be B's. So let me give you the B. Letter A, be girded. Letter B, be ready. C, be doing. D, be prepared. Okay, so that's be girded, be ready. Be girded is in verse 35. Be girded, be ready, I'm sorry. Be girded is in verse 35. Be ready is in verse 40. Be doing is in verse 43. Be prepared is in verse 47. Okay, so let's look at those. We have 6 minutes. Oh, we have a little more than 6. Okay, be girded. That's verse 35. So pull it in. Can't be loose. Can't be strong in the Lord. You can't. I mean, he said put on the whole armor of God. Well, it didn't mean just have it halfway on. You know, put it on. You know, can't be loose. Can't be loose. So that's what it means. Pull in stuff that's loose. And your lamps burning. And then we notice in verse 36, be like men who wait for their master. So that's going on elaborating. Be like men who wait for their master. And that's why I say anticipate Jesus's return. Verse 36, be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. So that lets us know we have to have an eternal glance, not just this earthly glance, because we got to leave this earth. And time, life at its longest is short. Compared, life at its longest is short. So we got to think eternally, and only what's done for Christ will last. And we want to be like men, verse 36, who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. That's another thing, be watching, because you know the Bible says watch and pray. So I'm going to add that to my list. Be watching. That's verse 37. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself, have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And then it goes on until you get to verse 40. Verse 40, therefore, you also be ready. There's the be ready. So we have to be ready. So when the knock comes at the door, you know, you don't have to scuffle about and pick up this and that. Be ready, okay? And then I said, be doing. So let's go down to verse 43. Verse 43, well, 41, Peter said, Lord, are you talking this parable to us or to all the people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful? That's what we want to be, faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 25, I believe, you have been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. So verse 42, Jesus is talking, but then in verse 43, it says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So that means be doing. Whatever God has given you to do, be doing it. Whatever he's given you to do, be doing it. And what you're supposed to do and what I'm supposed to do is different things. We're supposed to love God first, but we have things to do. Be doing it. Okay, and then verse 47, because our time is moving. I see now we have 3 minutes. Verse 47, I said, be prepared. So verse 47 says, and that servant who knew his master's will, we just found out the master's will. So what we gonna do about it? Verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. And so the lesson there for us is be prepared. Prepare yourself to do what we've just studied today in class. Don't just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. Because once we've heard, we're responsible. And then next ending here, anticipate judgment. Anticipate judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We have to give an account. And so verse 48, anticipate judgment. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, that's us this morning. God has given us much this morning. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. I kind of tremble there in my voice because I know God has given you all much. God's given me much. That means at the time of judgment, we're going to be held more accountable because we knew better. So it says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And so that's our introduction to Luke chapter 12. I encourage you to do your own study and reading of Luke chapter 12 and doing. Now, I have one announcement I want to make real quick. Lord willing, beginning April 26th, which is the last Monday in this month, I will be teaching a 4-week series on a survey of the book of Revelation. It will all be on Zoom. And it is through New Era Baptist, New Era Congress of Christian Education. It is free to everyone who is a member of a New Era church, which is most of our churches in Omaha, our African-American churches. Most of them are New Era. It's free to you. But I encourage out-of-state people, I encourage you to take this survey. You have to register, and I will include more information on my Zoom invitation this coming Wednesday or this coming week. There are other classes as well, not just mine, but I'm teaching Survey of Revelation, so I wanted to announce that to you. Beautiful lesson, Lord, we thank you for caring enough for us to tell us more about exactly what it means to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so we ask you through the week, Lord God, and even throughout this day, take these lessons by your spirit and may they be applied to our lives. We love you and we praise you. Be with us, all of us, and keep us in your care. Keep us in your care. Until we meet again, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Bella.
Amen.
God
bless
everyone.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Love you.
We made
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Thank
Have
you.
So Amen. Have a blessed week, everyone.
You too.
Glad to see our new people. Glad you're with us. Come back.
Love you. Have a great week.
53.
Hi, Sandra Foster. And everybody else. I just happened to see her chat.
It's a great lesson, Sister Velma.
Great. God is teaching us.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. So much to whom much is given, you know what? Much is required.
Yes, it is.
God bless everyone. So glad
that
you.
Thank you.
I see.
Have a good week.
I see Wendell and Sharon's face and Shirley and
Yeah.
And Joe and Eunice and Cheryl and Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Sharon, yes. Cheryl.
Uh-huh.
Then I see some pictures.
And Cheryl, Amy and I say, have a blessed week.
God bless everyone. God be with
God
you till we meet again.
You too.
Amen.
They're tearing me. She just tricked off.
You okay, Miss Sadie?
Hi, Miss Sadie.
Hi, Azalea Jackson. God bless everyone.
God bless.
See you next week, Lord willing.
All right.
Miss Sadie.